If you're attending the Triennial Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, come join us for a special live broadcast of Issues Etc. from 7 to 9 Central Sunday night, July the 21st, at the Renaissance Hotel in downtown St. Louis. We'll be broadcasting live outside the Majestic Ballroom at the Renaissance Hotel before and during an ice cream social this Sunday night from 7 to 9 Central. Now, if you can't attend in person, you can listen to this live broadcast from 7 to 9 Central, Sunday, July the 21st, at issuesetc.org.
She may have had to commit chemical warfare against her own body to temporarily chemically sterilize herself so that she can have her position as a news broadcaster or as an elected official.
I'm a Christian today, Todd, not because it works for me. That's the last reason. There are many days when it doesn't even seem to work for me. There's many days when I wish I could take a shortcut like I used to when I was a non-believer. I'm a Christian today because it is true.
The experience isn't going to save. What's going to save is that word of forgiveness that Christ died even for you in your lowest point.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
The headline has made its way all around the world and, of course, through social media as well. It's become a little bit of a joke, maybe a lot of a joke. The Vatican recently making mention of indulgence being connected with World Youth Day, in particular, something to do with the Twitter account of Pope Francis. Now, we're going to try and sort out the facts of that story, but more importantly, really, in the long run, is the misconception that we often find in that media coverage about indulgences, their place in the Roman Catholic system, and what it means that Pope Francis, for instance, offers an indulgence. Does that mean the forgiveness of sins? Does that mean people who went to hell get out of hell? And what in the world is purgatory according to Roman Catholic teaching? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon. It's the 19th of July. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Martin Noland will be our guest for the first half hour or so. We'll talk about the Vatican offering indulgences to participants of World Youth Day. Dr. Curtis Giese joins us after that. The church will be remembering Mary Magdalene on the 22nd of July. She is mentioned more than some disciples are mentioned in the New Testament. Why is that? Karen Pressley will join us after that. Another story in the headline. Actress Leah Remini left Scientology. I don't know if she still believes it or not, but she left because she believes the system is abusive. We'll find out what Scientology is, why that system is always, in every case that you hear about, so abusive, even if you're a celebrity member of Scientology. And then we're going to talk, we'll do a little Issues Etc. comment line, hear from you, your comments, your questions from our always open comment line. And then, since it's Friday, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, four sound bites that we've assembled for you. We will play them for you. All you got to do is listen, and then you call, you email, you send us a tweet, or you go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote in advance for our Soundbite of the Week this Friday at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Martin Noland is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana, former director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
This is what you're often reading in the press in connection with the papal promise of indulgence for participation in World Youth Day, is that it is the Pope is essentially promising to forgive sins in this indulgence. Is an indulgence the same thing as absolution or the forgiveness of sins?
The indulgences are part of the Roman Catholic sacrament of penance, and they have to be understood in that context. If you try to understand it from a Protestant view, it gets all mixed up, and I'm sure that most of the media doesn't really understand it. First off, you have the division in the Roman Catholic teaching under the doctrine of penance between grave sins, which merit eternal punishment, and venial sins, which merit temporal punishment. The grave sins can only be forgiven by Christ and all that. The venial sins, which you would say are lesser type of offenses, those are punished temporally, and that may happen through suffering here on earth, and whatever's left and not taken care of, this is according to Roman Catholic teaching, is taken care of in purgatory. So if you have committed a grave sin and it is not forgiven, then you're going to hell. If you commit venial sins, which everybody does, then you're going to purgatory. And so the issue for indulgence is that it is a way of paying off that debt. It's it really is conceived in a concept of debt. And so over a period of time in your life, you're accruing more and more debt and not paying it off. And so the question is, how are you going to pay it off? Indulgences provide a means of doing that. And so it really is not the notion of forgiveness of sins, which in the Bible, the notion of forgiveness is it's wiped clean. There's no further debt on your account when you're forgiven. And that's the notion of forgiveness of sins that also Lutherans and most other Protestants believe in.
So is it safe to say that the entire system that is built around this, what is the center of that system? What is the theological premise upon which they are more or less kind of painted in the corner of inventing purgatory? And then, since purgatory is there and seems awfully harsh, inventing this system of indulgences, what is the basic theological premise there?
Well, the theological premise is that that Christ's sacrifice on the cross is not sufficient in itself to cover all the sins of everybody. And in theory, it is. In fact, in the, I don't know if it was an encyclical, that Pope Paul VI, about 1967, passed, and which is quoted in the New Catechism of the Catholic Church. By new, I mean it's been around for 1992, so I guess that's 20 years. He made it clear, Paul VI did, that this is to be understood not automatically. You don't automatically just get an indulgence by doing something. That takes care of everything. But rather, you're supposed to have a penitent heart and be doing good works and stuff like that. And so within the context of doing what's prescribed, then the indulgence does help pay off those things. But it really is, it replaces, if, from a Protestant standpoint, it replaces the work of Jesus. And what we do as Protestants, we say, forgive us our sins, as we pray that regularly in the Lord's Prayer. Lutherans in their liturgical service regularly have confession of sins, or if they don't do that, they may have private confession of sins. And so we do this on a regular basis, assuming that all the merits of Christ cover all of our sins, whereas in the case of the Roman Catholics, Christ has produced an infinite treasury of merit, but it doesn't always get down to you. And so the question is, how is that going to be applied to me? That's the problem that indulgences takes care of. And it gives to the faithful in the Roman Catholic Church some sense of security in that if they go through this process, they know that those sins are forgiven. Whereas Protestants may have the problem of thinking, well, I just heard that from the preacher, in a general sense, he forgave all of our sins. And of course, a lot of Protestants don't even believe that. So then you have the problem, the forgiveness of sins, but how does the believer apply that to themselves and know that they truly are forgiven? So that's why that came into existence centuries ago in the Roman Catholic Church, I think, for the sake of the security and the certainty of the individual. But we as Lutherans say, no, that's wrong because it's not biblically based, and we simply know that God is a gracious God, and if we believe what Jesus has said, that our sins forgiven, they are. And you have to believe the pastor when he says that.
Now, one more kind of theological question in that vein. Are you saying that the absolution, because the corrective in the press on Pope's World Youth Day indulgences has essentially been various spokespersons saying, look, this indulgence is predicated upon the penitent's confession of sins and absolution and the following penance that is assigned by the priest. Are you saying, in essence, that in that system, the Roman system, absolution isn't absolution, at least not complete absolution?
Right. Well, see, in the Lutheran Church, when we talk about absolution, what we're talking about is what the pastor does on Sunday, and those people that are there that have confessed their sins, not just by rote, but, I mean, truly from their heart, confess their sins, that all their sins are forgiven, and they should believe that because of what the pastor says. They don't have that sort of general remission of sins in the Roman Church. It applies to each individual, and usually they go to the father confessor to do that. So if a person has gone to their father confessor in the Roman Church, and they've confessed their sins, and then he has prescribed for them the things they need to do, make restitution to their mother-in-law or something like that, and they're going through that process, then these indulgences can help along the way. But I think where the press has gotten wrong, and maybe they're just picking on the Roman Catholic Church, which is not right. I mean, they should understand these things within the context of the theology. The indulgence just by itself doesn't do a thing. It has to be within the context of the proper penitence for it to have an effect. And that is, I think, what the criticisms coming from the Roman hierarchy, they're saying, wait, that's not what we believe, it's not what we teach, and those defenses of their practice, they're telling the truth. If you read the Catechism of the Catholic Church and other sources, you'll see that they are simply saying what is the case.
When we come back, we're going to do a little history with Dr. Nolan, because, of course, the issue of indulgences isn't a 21st century issue only. It is a long history in the Roman Catholic Church, and it crosses roads with the history of what some people would call historic Protestantism. I would say the Reformation. It is the issue of indulgences that first begins to draw the criticism of that German monk, Martin Luther, before he was the Reformer. He has questions about not only indulgences, but the way the indulgences were being administered, sold, hawked, if you will. We'll be right back.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Can God save people any way he wants? Is Jesus the only way we know of? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. Journal titled, What God Cannot Do. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. Journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor John Fraser details his journey from the subjective introspection of decision theology to the objective saving work of Jesus. The online Issues Etc. Journal.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church, and yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Thank you.
That's the Truro Cathedral Choir with the hymn, O Christ, Our Hope, Our Heart's Desire, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. That's our 24/7 sacred music station. Runs all the time. And it always carries sacred music, that is, the church's music, according to the church year. Features some of the best choirs, some of the best performances of that church music you will hear any place. I can say that almost every single person that I've talked to personally who has tuned into LutheranPublicRadio.org has been impressed. Well, it's not because we're great. It's because the music is great and the theology is great. Listen to it 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Now, Sundays at 1 in the afternoon and 8 in the evening Central Time, Lutheran Public Radio features a Bach cantata appropriate to the Sunday, and it's brought to you uninterrupted by the Substitute Organist Service. This is from Church Music Solutions. It's a program that allows congregations to have quality music in their service, played back, and this is key, on their organ, right there in their church, as an option when a live organist just isn't available. Check out the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com. Dr. Martin Nolan is our guest. We're talking about the Vatican offering indulgences to participants of World Youth Day. Dr. Nolan, give us a picture of what this system of indulgences had become at the time of the 16th century, the early 16th century, that drew the criticism of one soon-to-be reformer, Martin Luther.
Again, it goes back to the distinction between forgiveness and penitential satisfaction. So if you can think of forgiveness on one line and satisfaction on the other, what they did, and this is goes back to the early church, they invented a whole other concept of forgiveness of sins. So they said sins are forgiven, yeah, by Jesus, but then you got to do satisfaction. And I guess, who was it? One of the pop stars in the 60s says, I ain't got no set of satisfaction, and that probably has a different meaning for him, but it really, that's the problem, that Christians realized that they couldn't come up to the standards that were required by scriptures. So if they had to pay off themselves through some sort of good work or some reparation, they were in big trouble. And this goes back to Tertullian and Cyprian that used that language, and Augustine used the example of David and Nathan to say, you have to make payment for your sins in this life. So throughout the medieval period, there's this development on this whole doctrine. And we won't get into all the details of that, but if I talked to before, the idea of purgatory, which is connected with indulgences, that is developed by the monastery and order of Cluny, going back to the 10th century, actually. And then the development of the All Souls Day, November 2nd, in which all the souls were prayed for. And then this became, in the Crusades, indulgences were beginning to be issued for soldiers going to fight the Muslims. And it became based upon the treasury of merit that was controlled by the Pope and the Church. Finally, in 1476, Pope Sixtus IV said that indulgences that had been created for Crusades and the living could also apply to purgatory and the souls of those in purgatory. And that was the particular practice that was rejected by others, not just Martin Luther, but many of the reformers before Luther, including Wycliffe and I believe Huss, said this is wrong. This is not what we have taught, but the people that followed the Pope said he is the authority of Jesus here on earth, therefore we have to accept this. And so it became a big contention point, not just from Lutherans versus Catholics, but all Protestants. It's one thing that all the Protestants were together on, Anabaptist, a Calvinist, or whatever, what have you, including the Bohemians. They all said, this is wrong, this is not in agreement with the Scripture or even the earlier traditions of the Church.
Does that continue today? I mean, I think that's the big question people have is, well, that was the real wrong of indulgences. It was kind of blatant. It was kind of administered in a carnival atmosphere with guys hawking remittance of temporal punishment in purgatory. does the financial end of it, buying them, in some sense, still exist in the Roman system?
Well, I think that I could be wrong, but I believe that the purchasing of indulgences, as in a interact as if you can pay for your salvation, that was renounced by the Council of Trent after Martin Luther. However, they did not exclude the possibility that, say, that you would decide if you willed a good portion of your estate to the Roman Church, and for most people that was a large amount of land, that this would count as an indulgence. And you have to understand that an indulgence is a category, it's a way to take care of this temporal sin, or and the temporal punishment, I should say. And it can be applied to any sort of thing. So if you go on a pilgrimage, that was a very common way of reducing the amount of debt that you'd be paying off in purgatory. So the indulgence means, oh, we're going to relax, we're going to forgive that portion of your temporal punishment. So pilgrimages, prayers, it was very common early on, and not that long ago, that on All Souls Day, November 2nd, individual parishioners would visit the church and pray six Our Fathers, I believe six Hail Marys and six Glory Prayers for the intention of the Holy Father. And then they would receive a plenary indulgence for the soul in purgatory and thus freeing the soul for heaven. So up until Vatican II, where a lot of things changed, this was just kind of common practice. So one of the ways that sometimes would be, especially those that had a lot of money or estate, was that they could will they could help pay for half of a seminary, and that would be considered something that would help contribute. But it isn't the same way as we see in the movies of Martin Luther's day, where you're just selling it in little piece bits. I don't think that they have that sort of practice at all anymore.
Does every Roman Catholic, if they believe in purgatory, do they have a reasonable expectation, according to that theology and that system, of spending quite some time there before eternal life?
Well, that's something that I'm not quite sure how this works now, because in Pope Paul VI's encyclical 1967, as far as I understand it, indulgences after 1967 they're all plenary. In other words, they're not a remission of a couple number of days, which is a form of accounting, but they're complete. So if somebody purchases, let's say I die tomorrow, and Todd Wilkin decides to go and purchase me an indulgence, well, if he gets one of these indulgences while they're still valid, which is what, July 22nd to 29, then I should be able to get out, at least according to my interpretation of it. But I think you'll have to talk to a Roman Catholic priest who understands the penitentiary system as it is today, post-1967, to get a clear answer on that.
It's a question that Luther actually raises in his initial objections. I think it's part of the 95 Theses, where he asks the question, if the Holy Father is able to grant indulgences and release souls from purgatory by fiat, why doesn't he release all? Is it a good question?
It's a good question, but it's also a rhetorical question. It has become clear, particularly since 1967 again, that there is an infinite amount of grace in the treasury of merit. And I think maybe before that, there was kind of the sense that, well, the Pope can't dole out a whole lot because we only can dole out what we get in. And I think since the acceptance of certain theology and probably Protestant influence into the Roman Catholic Church through people like Karl Rahner and others, that the notion that Christ has paid for all sins, therefore, Christ being eternal, has created an infinite supply. And so therefore, I think there's more of this notion of, there is still this this way of doing things. But instead of purchasing a bunch of indulgences for one person, if you do it once, that is, if you have a relative does it for you, then you're taken care of. And I think that's how it's understood today.
Is, in your mind, viewing it from a historical perspective, with only about a minute here, is it possible for the Roman system to be done with indulgences, to take it out of their system, to reform it out of their system. What do you think?
I think it's always possible for the Pope to reinterpret things. And see, what happened with the notion of, they reinterpreted the doctrine or notion of forgiveness. And this was back in the early church when they invented the idea of satisfaction. They could take the terms and the practices, and they could definitely move it in a more biblical direction. Whether they have a reason to do that remains, that's another question. But the fact that they made all indulgences plenary in 1967 shows that they were under pressure from the Protestants, and they felt that they needed to have this sort of plenary remission, which we grant to everybody, and we don't even have a doctrine of purgatory. One other comment I would just like to make is that the tweets are the symbol for the tweeter is a little bird. So obviously the Holy Spirit is working there. Sorry, it was a bad joke.
That's all right. Dr. Martin Noland is known for those occasionally. Dr. Martin Noland is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Evansville, Indiana, former director of the Concordia Historical Institute. Marty, thanks for being our guest again.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Curtis Giese remembering Mary Magdalene. Mary is mentioned more than some of the disciples in the New Testament. We do know a few very important things about her, and then there are some misconceptions about Mary Magdalene that also need to be cleared up. She'll be remembered by the church on the 22nd of July. We'll do so right after this with Dr. Curtis Giese on this Friday afternoon, July the 19th. If absolution isn't absolution, and this is not unique to the Roman Catholic Church, if you believe that the forgiveness of sins that Christ has purchased for you at the cross, that you have heard from a pastor's mouth or you have read in Holy Scripture, isn't complete, then you've got your own kind of purgatory. You just put it in this life. When forgiveness is complete in Jesus Christ and all sins are paid for, you do not need to worry about purgatory here or after. We'll be right back.
The theme of the scriptures is the promise of Christ and the coming of Christ and the meaning of that. And you can lose that in pietism.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the White Horse Inn radio show, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The common emphasis is the emphasis on sanctification. Sounds good, biblical, it is. But you get the emphasis on the wrong syllable, and we'll lose our own children.
You can listen to Dr. Rosenblatt's presentation, Making the Case Against Pietism, and all of our presentations from this year's conference on our new audio DVD. For a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo on our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.